From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news first headline. President Joko Widodo has called for the application for a simple health protocol for the public keen on undergoing health testing for coronavirus at hospital. Mainland China reported zero locally transmitted cases on the coronavirus for the second straight day. Now news in detail. President Joko Widodo has called for the application of a simple health protocol for the public keen on undergoing health testing for coronavirus at hospital. Prepare a health protocol that is clear, simple, and easy to understand. This is crucial, the president said at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Thursday during a meeting on COVID-19 health via video conference. The video conference was attended by Vice President Ma'ruf Amin, Cabinet Ministers, and head of the COVID-19 Handling Task Force, currently head of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, Doni Mondardo. With regard to the result of this rapid test, whether people will have to undergo a self-quarantine or required medical help, it will be elaborated in the health protocol, President said. Currently, the health minister will require 3 days to test the coronavirus infection using the polymerase chain reaction or PCR system and genome sequencing. The government can also utilize the Athlete Village in Kemayoran, Jakarta, which has capacity to accommodate 15,000 people. According to the health protocol for handling COVID-19, those feeling unwell are advised to stay at home. If a person experiences breathing difficulties, then she or he should seek medical attention. Mainland China reported zero locally transmitted case of the coronavirus for the second straight day, while the daily tally for infection involving travelers arriving in the country surged to a new record, authorities announced on Friday, March 20. Mainland China had 39 new confirmed cases on the Thursday, the country National Health Commission said, all of which were import cases. That brings the total accumulated number of confirmed cases in mainland China so far to 80,967. The death toll from the outbreak had reached 3,248 as the end of the Thursday, up by 3 from the previous day. Of the new imported infection, 14 were in Guangdong, 8 in Shanghai, and 6 in Beijing, the health authorities said on Friday. Wuhan, capital of central Hubei province and epicenter of the outbreak in China, saw zero new cases for the second day. The Olympic flame arrived in Japan on Friday, March 20, with what should have been a joyous celebration dramatically downscaled as doubts grow over whether the Tokyo Games can go ahead during the coronavirus pandemic. Organizers have already taken the heartbreaking decision to pare back events surrounding the torch relay as the world battles the virus that had killed more than 9,000 people and threatened to spark global recession. The flame arrived on a special charter flight from Mitsushima Air Base in the Japanese province of Miyagi, deliberately chose as the part of the Recovery Olympic to showcase the region revival after 2011 earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear meltdown. The flame will be picked up in a special charter plane, but some 200 local children that were due to welcome the flame will be kept away as part of the measure designed to halt the spread of the virus which has infected 900 people in Japan. The relay began on March 26, starting from the G Village Sport Complex in Fukushima that was commanded as a base by workers scrambling to contain the fallout from the nuclear meltdown. President Donald Trump will cancel an in-person meeting of G7 leaders at the Camp David in June because of the coronavirus and will hold a video conference instead, the White House said on Thursday. The decision comes as nationals around the world seal their borders and ban travel to stop the virus spread. President Trump held a video conference with the leader of the world major industrialized countries earlier this week and planned to repeat that in April, May, and June when the physical meeting at the presidential retreat in Maryland was scheduled to take place. White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow, who also served as G7 Sherpa, has informed his counterpart about the move. The White House also informed the G7 members that in order to continue close coordination, the president will convene the leader via video teleconference in April and May, just as he did this week. The G7 is made up of the United States, Italy, Japan, Canada, France, Germany, Britain, as well as European Union. Indonesian Central Bank trimmed its economic growth forecast for 2020 to 4.6% from earlier 5 to 5.4% over high global uncertainty fueled by the coronavirus or COVID-19 outbreak. The COVID-19 posed a challenge to the effort to boost domestic economic growth, Bank Indonesia Governor Ferry Warjio stated at a press conference on Thursday. Mr. Warjio noted that the spread of COVID-19 expanding its reach to 196 countries had led to a decline of the global economic outlook. The condition was partly the reason behind the weakening of Indonesia goods export growth despite having improved in February 2020. South Korea, China, and Singapore are among the ASEAN countries facing a second coronavirus wave fueled by people importing it from outside. China, where the virus first emerged, confirmed it had no new domestic cases on Wednesday for the first time since the outbreak began, a major milestone. But it reported 34 new cases among the people who recently returned to China. Singapore also reported 47 new cases, of which 33 were imported, 30 of them returned Singapore residents. South Korea saw a jump in new cases on Thursday with 152, though it's not clear how many were imported. A new cluster there is centered in the nursing home in Daegu, where 74 patients have tested positive. Japan reported 3 new cases on Wednesday, but Hokkaido, the worst affected Japanese region with 154 cases, is lifting its state of emergency in place since late February. The people of Japan and millions of tourists should now be enjoying the start of the cherry blossom viewing or hamami season in Japan. It's extremely important time of year for the country, both economically and culturally. Traditionally, friends and family get together, and for a new generation, it's perfect Instagram opportunity. But this year, the coronavirus pandemic means even have been canceled and foreign visitors are staying away. Katsuhiro Miyamoto from Kansai University highlighted the financial importance of Hamami. Japan cherry blossom season was very big economic effect every year. He estimated that almost 8.5 million tourists visit the country during the cherry blossom season between March and May last year, bringing in some 650 billion yen or $6 billion. This year, two Hanami events are being canceled across the country as authorities attempt to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Last week, the governor of Tokyo, Yuriko Koike, urged people to not hold their traditional parties. That is the news read out by Antin Supriyati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is COVID-19 Outbreak, It's Time to Learn from Wuhan. While listener, more than 100 countries in the world reportedly caught a coronavirus outbreak, COVID-19, which started from Wuhan, China. Now the spread of the virus reaches almost the entire world. With a chain effect, the virus is difficult to start from one country to another. Meanwhile, the condition of Wuhan in particular and China in general has improved. Although quarantine and other restrictions still apply, the community has begun to appear again on the streets. School and office activities have also begun to resume. China quickly revived after being hit by Corona 19. Although it is still too early, some Chinese people reveal that they have won the COVID-19 outbreak. When other countries are experiencing similar outbreak, it seems that they must learn from Wuhan. One city that suddenly becomes the world spotlight applies lockdown steps as the most effective effort to restrict the spread of COVID-19. But there are differences in the implementation of this and support of the people from one country to another. Wuhan residents are known to abide by the permanent procedure of handling COVID-19. Whereas in Italy, for example, before the lockdown was imposed, the people at the center of the virus distribution were actually bustling out of the Milan towards the outskirts of the city, whether to evacuate or enjoy holidays. As a result, the spread of the virus actually happened to various places. The death toll increased faster. They failed to wash hands and wear masks recommended by the government and World Health Organization, WHO, tending to be ignored. The same thing reportedly also happened in several European countries. For the countries in Asia, Malaysia and the Philippines are known to have decided to impose the lockdown at least until the end of this month. This is in line with the increasing number of COVID-19 cases found in the two countries. How the result and impact still need to be seen, but at least there had been efforts to stop the chain of distribution and reduce the number of cases. What China has done, especially Wuhan, to recover from the COVID-19 attacks is a combination of extraordinary efforts and dedication to resolve the spread of this virus. Now each country faces their respective test. Indeed, every storm will fade away. However, how many victims must fall due to this virus attack? How long will it take to overcome and recover? It really depends on the ability and readiness of each country. It seems that the world needs to learn how China, especially Wuhan, has faced and deal with this deadly COVID-19. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening. Well, listeners, nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History. Well, we start today in history with the death of Nurtanio Pringgadesuri, a pioneer of the Indonesian aviation industry. Nurtanio and Wiwiko Supono produced the Soglint
and WG glider Nurtano Wiwigo glider in 1947. They produced the first Indonesian all-metal and fighter aircraft called Sikumban, then Kunan-Kunan, Belalan, and Gelatik. Nurtanio was killed in an aircraft accident on March 21, 1966. He conducted a flight test of the Aero 45 or ARIT, which had been modified by giving an extra fuel tank. Because of high dedication after he passed away, his name is perpetuated as the name of the aircraft industry, namely the Nurtanio aircraft industry. Now it is PT Dirgantara Indonesia. We tune to the event of the World Poetry Day on March 21, 2000. The Poetry Day is intended to provide an opportunity so that humans can appreciate and support poetry and its writers. All the day, the government agencies, teachers, and communities and individuals are asked to participate and promote the World Poetry Day, which is commemorated every March 21. The day was ratified in November 1996. By UNESCO. The UNESCO believes that poetry has a major role in the history, art, and culture of people in ancient times until today. It also warns that the spirit shown in the poetry recitals can be revived. The UNESCO emphasized that the relationship between poetry and other works of art, such as drama, dance, music, and painting, would be everlasting. The first World Poetry Day was commemorated on March 21, 2000. Well, listener, we entered in history on March 21, 2013 about World Forest Day. The World Forest Day was firstly commemorated on March 21, 2013 based on the United Nations resolution on November 28, 2012. The commemoration is celebrated annually to share the vision of the forestry mission and its relations to climate change around the world and the strategy that must be conducted. Every year, 13 million hectares of forest losses. With the loss of the forest, the ecosystem also loses that includes plantation species and rare animals. Deforestation causes 12 to 18% of the global carbon emission to be absorbed, and the value is equivalent to carbon emission from transportation around the world. Well, listener, that was Student History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Diriku mencari dan ternyata ku sendiri mengharap kehadiranmu menemani diri ini saat kau tak di sisiku dan ku pun terus mencari mengharap kehadiranmu menemani aku di mimpi mengapa begitu sulit melupakan kamu maaf bila ku tak pernah bisa membuktikan bahwa dia
bersama. Saat diriku mencari bayangmu terus menari di atas kerinduanku, ku semakin tak mengerti mengapa bayangmu terus menyapaku di mimpi. Mengapa begitu sulit melupakan
Well, for listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today is on boosting sparks of interest of national industrial players amid COVID-19 pandemic threat. The Ministry of Industry keeps boosting the spark of interest of the national industrial players in the country to keep producing and fulfilling the needs of both domestic and foreign markets. The strategic steps which has been carried out is to keep the availability of raw materials amid the global economic pressure and the impact of the coronavirus pandemic. Director General of Small, Medium and Various Industries at the Ministry of Industry, Gati Wibawaningsih, said in Jakarta on Tuesday that her side is committed to boosting the spirit of small and medium industries players so that their performances are recovered. She recognized that in the beginning of coronavirus outbreak in Wuhan, China, the small and medium industries activities in Indonesia were impacted due to most of raw materials come from China. But currently, some producers in China have started operating. Gati also remarked that this momentum should become a turning point for the small and medium industry in Indonesia to increase their products. She even hopes that their export activities can be normal. Meanwhile, Secretary General of the Ministry, Ahmad Sigit Dwi Wahyono, said that to ease imports procedures, the government has issued stimulus policy for manufacturing industrial sector, such as to ease procedures for raw materials from China. The relaxation of income tax Article 22 of imports is also applied to 19 certain sectors. Export is import duty taxpayers and IKM taxpayers. The 19 manufacturers sectors which get relaxation to import is raw materials for chemical industry and chemical products, other transportation equipment industry, food industry, basic metal industry, paper and paper products, beverage industry, pharmaceutical, chemical, drug, and traditional medicine, as well as motor vehicle industry, trailers, and semi-trailer. In addition, there are also rubber industry, rubber and plastic products, non-metal mining industry, apparel industry, electrical equipment, textile, furniture, industry and computer, electronic and electrical industries. The relaxation is effective for 6 months from April to September 2020 with a total estimated exemption of 8.15 trillion rupiahs. Previously, Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang said that in the future, the government will keep evaluating and if necessary, there will be later regulations. Well, that was my Indonesia Today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta from Indonesia to the world.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to introduce you to Sultan Riau Mosque. Indonesia is a country with majority Muslim population, so it is natural that there are a lot of mosques in many regions. Indonesian population consists of multi-ethnicity and tribes. so that the building has various styles and differences in each region. Therefore, the mosque building in Indonesia has an acculturated architecture between the influence of foreign countries and regions. One of them is Sultan Riau Mosque on Penyengat Island, Riau Islands Province. Initially built in 1761, the mosque has a lot of history and uniqueness. Before standing strong and luxurious as its current existence, the Sultan Riau Mosque was originally just a simple wooden building with brick floors, equipped with a tower approximately 6 meters high. However, times went by. The mosque cannot accommodate the growing number of congregation members, so that Yang Dipertuan Muda Raja Abdurrahman VII, Sultan of Lingga Kingdom Riau, who ruled in 1831 to 1844 era, renovated and enlarged the mosque. This mosque is unique because, according to a tale story, the egg element plays a role in the construction of the mosque as adhesive material for sand, lime, and clay for building the walls. The main building of the mosque is 18 by 20 square meters with 17 domes, which symbolize a number of rakaat or a five-time prayer in a day and night. The shape of the mosque like an onion, and 18 by 20 square meters of main building supported by four concrete pillars. Once you go upstairs and pass the mosque gate, you can find pavilions on the left and right side. The mosque has 13 onion-shaped domes. Another uniqueness of the mosque is the idea and the initiative in building the mosque did not come from the king, but from ordinary people in Penyengat Island. Currently, the Sultan Riau Mosque stands strongly in the 240 hectares area at Penyengat Island, dominated by yellow and green colors. This worship building looks more interesting than other buildings when it is seen from Dermaga Panjang and Pelabuhan Sri Bintan Pura, Tanjung Pinang City. In the Sultan Riau Mosque, there is also a handwritten Quran manuscripts that were written around 1875 and also sent from Mecca, brought by a royal aristocrat who carried out pilgrimage in 1820. Moreover, there are also crystal lamps from Prussia and tapestries from Turkey, which is quite old. The pulpit of the mosque is made of teak wood by carvers in Jepara, Central Java. This Raja Sultan Mosque is considered to be auspicious for people who have some expectations. So, in certain days, especially on Friday, many people come to the mosque for Friday prayer and to form special prayers in order their dreams come true. To visit the Sultan Riau Mosque, or sometimes it is called the Egg Mosque, you must firstly go to Tanjung Pinang, the capital of Riau Islands Province. Then continue to Dermaga Panjang or Sri Bintan Pura Port to go to Penyengat Island by boat. From Penyengat Port, you only need to walk about 5 minutes to the Sultan Riau Mosque. The listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition entitled Sultan Riau Mosque. And see you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
aku datang memaksaku. Rindu semakin menyerang kalau aku dapat membaca pikiranmu dengan sayap pengharapanku. Awan pun gelisah, daun-daun jatuh berguguran. Namun cintamu kasih terbit laksana bintang yang bersinar cerah menerangi jiwa.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miscellany. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, welcome back to Miscellany. Today, we will inform you about Gajah Mada University plants thousands of bamboos in Wanagama for Nature Preservation. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. Gajah Mada University planted thousands of bamboo seeds for the development of the Bamboo Forest Nature Conservation Program in the Wanagama Special Purpose Forest Area, Gunung Kidul Regency, Yogyakarta on Wednesday. This development was carried out by the university in collaboration with PT Taspen to create sustainable nature. Director of the Wanagama, Wiko Budi Permadi, said that one of the efforts to preserve nature is to plant bamboo. Ecologically, this plant can store water and fertilize many microorganisms that grow underneath. Wiko also said that aside from being able to store large amounts of water, bamboos also hold good carbon stocks to mitigate climate change. Besides, they have economic benefits because the stems can be a taut building material and bamboo shoots can be a source of community food. The Wanagama Bamboo Forest conservation activity was originally conceived by the University Forestry Faculty as part of the 1,000 units of Bamboo Village movement, which became the strategic plan of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry and the Bamboo Lestari Foundation, especially the Yogyakarta cluster, to support the Wanagama Bamboo Forest conservation activities in 7, 13, and 17 plot location. Taspen provided assistance in the form of 2,300 bamboo betung or giant bamboo planting seeds, which had been planted in stages. In December 2019, planting pass 1 was carried out according to the target of 1,100 seedlings on an area of 1 hectare where the planting location is not far from the river, so that the chance of bamboo plant life would be longer. The next stage of planting 1,100 seeds has been completed and the remaining 100 stems are used for replanting. In addition, bamboo infusion technology is also applied to anticipate water shortage in the dry season. In this regard, the university also keeps developing technologies that can increase the economic value of the bamboos. That was Miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a regional song from Papua entitled Apuse. Music is a unique phenomenon which is produced through some musical instruments. For Indonesian people, music is one of ways to express their identities. Every region has their typical music. Peculiarity is also performed in the lyric of the song. It is like in the song Apuse. The song is from Papua and it tells about a grandchild who says goodbye to his or her grandpa and grandma to wander to Doreri Bay. In the past, Doreri Bay in Manokwari became an important seaport with evidence that there are many ships sang in it. Well, listeners, let's listen to the song entitled Apuse.
Apuse. condao ya rabe sore noreri un flenso banile ma baki pase aku seko condao ya rabe sore noreri un flenso banile ma baki pase
of Indonesia.
Berpisah cerita realita. Tutup mata, tutup telinga, perhitungan pun tak ada.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.